Welcome back to the Mining Pod. I'm joined again by Matt Kimmel for this week's news roundup. We're talking about Genesis, which filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy late Thursday night. This is Friday recording time. We're also going to talk about how mining is being approached by a few different regions within the United States. We have some fresh information about how New Hampshire is looking to integrate Bitcoin mining to the grid. We also have a little new video from CNN talking about how a lot of people don't like Bitcoin mining and are taking their guns out to prove a point about it. We'll start off with Genesis, though, and yeah, really dive into that one. Matt, you called this one last week, though, to be fair. A lot of people called this quite a while ago, far before you did. But we'll give you some props regardless. Tell us about Genesis.
I think I'll take that as a compliment, maybe.
It's not.
All right, let's talk about what we learned, basically, from last week, right? As you mentioned, Genesis filed for Chapter 11. Sort of expected, but the sort of new news events was that DCG, right, the parent company, wound down their dividends, so they're no longer paying investors those. Reportedly, CoinDesk, another subsidiary of DCG and your alma mater, is up for sale. And then the beloved Justin Sun, the beloved scammer, I mean, founder, is offering $1 billion to help bail them out. And in the Chapter 11 filing, Genesis owes $3.5 billion with a B to creditors. So this story is ongoing. It's going to be interesting. I think the like 800-pound gorilla in the room question is, does this impact DCG more broadly? And I mean, everything kind of points to yes, at least to some degree. Them no longer paying dividends. They wound down their $3.5 billion wealth management division in early January. And CoinDesk is now for sale, right? A subsidiary, a part of their venture portfolio is out there. So they're definitely looking to sort of shore up their balance sheet, right? Looking to get some cash. And we'll just see how far that extends, right? How much trouble are they in? Because they have a big presence in the industry, right? They have a major venture portfolio. And this is a mining pod, so it's worth mentioning the mining pool Foundry, the largest Bitcoin mining pool out there, is a subsidiary of DCG. So what are your thoughts, Will?
Yeah, definitely a few things going on right now. We're going to have to like take a look through all this, probably make some written articles about the different ways that DCG's portfolio unwinding could affect the mining space. Foundry, of course, being the biggest one, like you said, they're the largest mining pool in North America. They also run some sites, I believe, and they also run a ASIC trading desk and a few other things that they do. So like pretty awesome team over there. However, they are caught within this DCG Genesis crash cash crunch. The question here is, can Genesis restructure? They're trying to do so before May 19th, according to a new Reuters article. DCG is sort of sitting on the sideline, not quite sure what their plan is to do. They owe Genesis about like $1.19 billion, I believe, is the number I last saw. So they're liable to Genesis because they assumed a lot of Genesis debt. And they also took a loan from Genesis in order to buy back shares and I think also to make some venture portfolio moves. So DCG is not out of the woods either. They seem to be sitting on the sideline and they took the last few months in order to try to figure out how DCG could help out Genesis. But they succumbed to the inevitable, which was Genesis filing for bankruptcy. On the media news, CoinDesk obviously is a big presence in the media space. A lot of miners go through CoinDesk in order to publish stuff, and they have a pretty solid team there publishing mining news. This could be a big hit for CoinDesk. They might have to be sold. They might just have to restructure or go somewhere else. As of right now, we know from Wall Street Journal reporting that they have actually retained some investment bankers to help size up what a potential deal could look like. And this could have like pretty large implications for the crypto media space, because you could either like be sold to another exchange, or you could have another overlord, or maybe they like figure a way to be independent. But at the very least, like the largest crypto media site is probably going to go under different ownership, is what it looks like right now. I'm really waiting to see what happens with the Foundry, though. We don't have any inclinations or understandings of what that subsidiary's portfolio looks like right now. Assume it's very strong just based on their growth. The fact that they've actually been purchasing assets over the last few months, so they purchased some stuff from CompuNorth, or the believe they purchased the ability to purchase some things from Compute North, Chapter 11. So we'll see what happens. But we can leave it there unless you have any other thoughts.
I was going to say, the CoinDesk news is huge, right? They're the ones who really broke the FTX news. And like all this reporting is so important in crypto. I'll just note, there's a couple, some potential people that could be impacted that are on the creditor list. I should say the top creditors of, being owed $766 million, $462 million, $230 million, they are not clear yet. That information hasn't come out. We can assume that one of those is Gemini, right, based off of how the story has really unfolded. But some of the ones that we do know, crypto project Decentraland is $50 million, Abra in exchange, and I don't really think they'll be super affected by this because it's a bite-sized $30 million. Stellar, kind of a zombie coin at this point, $13 million. And then Bitso, another exchange, $10 million. So we'll see how it kind of plays out. I'm really interested to see who those bigger players are. And then you mentioned the sort of $1.1 billion like promissory note. Really gonna be interesting to see the terms of that. The Winklevoss twins originally accused DCG of committing accounting fraud because of that note, and they're already under SEC and DOJ investigation or charged with unregistered securities fraud. So, I don't know. This story is going to continue. It's like pretty convoluted. It's kind of difficult to unwrap. But the big question is, how does this affect DCG, the portfolio companies, and Bitcoin broadly? Even though Bitcoin's hasn't taken a hit at all, you know, it seems like most of the speculation is kind of flushed out of the market. It's kind of holding strong at 21K at the moment.
Yeah, it's weird to see Bitcoin's price staying pretty stable during this. Maybe it's because people expected Genesis to go under. For quite a while now. They halted withdrawals back in early November. Yeah, the last thought I'll have on it is the cost of debt is only going up with that federal fund rate continuing to go up towards the 5% terminal rate they're looking at. I think it's at like 4.75 right now, but they're promising to continue increasing that rate through most of this year. And that means like a lot of this debt that's on people's portfolios is just going to become more expensive to service. It's going to tie up cash flows, and you're going to see people just continue to be squeaking by, if at all. So different scenario there than for all these large companies that are trying to unwind their bad positions. Think Core Scientific, think Genesis, DCG, and others. It's just going to be a mess. So that's what I'm looking at right now. But let's move over and talk about how Bitcoin mining is being looked at in the States. So we have two news articles about this, one from CNN and one from Bitcoin Magazine, talking about how the New Hampshire legislature has been looking at Bitcoin mining as a way to improve the grid. I'll hand over the Bitcoin Magazine one to you, and then I'll follow up with the CNN in a second.
Yeah, so essentially the New Hampshire story is that the governor came out and cited the positive impacts that Bitcoin mining could have on the electricity grid. This is something that, you know, the listeners to this pod are probably experts on and widely understand, but seeing it from a state legislator is really refreshing, and, you know, potentially really helpful for the mining industry in that state. We know it's going to be sort of a state's rights issue, as it's been historically. So I guess you should say the other side of the coin here, which is going on in North Carolina. What was that story, Will?
Yeah, so we have this new video from CNN that came out over the week. Let's take a look at it really quickly and then dive into it.
How do you describe that noise?
So we're probably sitting at probably 65 decibels right now. When it's at about 75, 80 decibels, I'd say a jet engine. A jet engine that never leaves.
16 months after the mine fired up without warning, Mike Lugovitz put his house up for sale in frustration.
There'd be turkeys out in the field and deer by the hundreds.
Yeah.
You don't have that anymore.
While Tom Lash misses the wildlife,
you don't sleep at night.
Phyllis Cantrell says she feels trapped.
You can actually lay your head on the pillow and hear it hum up through the walls.
Have you thought about moving?
We're 73 years old. Where are we going to go?
So it's a pretty powerful video. We can only show a second of it here, just a clip of it, but definitely go take a look at it. We'll include it in today's show notes. The story here is that in North Carolina, there's a new Bitcoin mining site, and it's not zoned well for whatever reason. Maybe they just don't have a local regulation set up to do that, and it's affecting people's lives. Having this constant droning noise nearby your neighborhood is really annoying. There's a reason why Bitcoin mining is more industrial. It's typically zoned in industrial parks where that noise can be contained, or with other sources of industrial noise. And in these rural regions, which don't have a lot of heavy industry, but Bitcoin mining can move to, you're getting some problems between localities and the Bitcoin mining operators. To me, this story just tells you about like a growing industry that's still trying to figure out how to survive. Like 90% of operational expenditures are from energy. So they go where energy is cheap. Oftentimes energy is cheap near residential zones or just near zones where people live for whatever reason. That's just how the transmission lines break down, or where the cheap energy is. And so you get these problems where there's like frustration or confusion between the two sides. And the Bitcoin miners often are welcomed in at first because they create jobs for the area or add this new technology to the area people are interested in. And then 12 months into it, the region is like, hey, we didn't expect this to be super loud, or this to be really annoying, or we didn't expect this to take so much energy from the grid. So to me, this is like a big story about education. I think for walk away for me is like Bitcoin miners, don't just think about your cost, but also think about zoning and where you should be appropriately placed, because you shouldn't really be next to a residential neighborhood. Like, we see a lot of these stories, and the reality of it is that no one wants this droning noise by your house at all, right? So find somewhere else to park your mine, because your mine still matters and it's still important to the region. You're going to add jobs to the region, which is really important, but just be careful about where you place your facility.
This is a story near and dear to my heart, because in university, I was trying to mine out of my apartment, and my roommates were not enthused by the sound. But yeah, this just in, right? Like, miners are loud. The cyber hornets, you can hear them.
Yeah.
I think it's really just these two stories coming out at the same time is like a really interesting juxtaposition. Like, we know that the mining industry could help employ people and bring jobs and have potentially really beneficial side effects for the energy grid, right? To subsidize renewables, to capture stranded waste energy, all these things we know near and dear. But when things are actually implemented in practice, there's potentially downsides as well, such as the noise to neighboring people. And we know like this could be dealt with. Like, I've heard of several miners like putting in insulation in the walls of like a unit to try to reduce the noise. I think it's like an ongoing science of how to do this in the best way. But it's just something definitely, as you said, to be mindful of as you're starting up a farm. But yeah, state by state, right? People are going to think differently about Bitcoin mining.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think the New Hampshire story is cool because you get this understanding that Bitcoin mining could be important for grids, for however you want to phrase it, being a reservoir for energy, being a battery on the grid, or whatever allegory or metaphor you want to use, it's important, right? That's a good thing. But on the flip side, you have to be mindful about where you're putting your operation. So we'll leave it there. Matt, great to see you again. See you next week. Probably more news about Genesis next week, I assume. But for everyone listening, thanks for giving us a hearing here. Give us a shout on social media at our Twitter handles, and give us a like on the show as well. Appreciate your time. See you, Matt.
Cheers.